The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, being tempted there by the devil for 40 days. During that time he ate nothing, and at the end he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn into a loaf." But Jesus replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone." Then, leading him to a height, the devil showed him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, "I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms, but it has been committed to me, and I give it to anyone I choose. Worship me then, and it shall all be yours." But Jesus answered him, "Scripture said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said to him, "throw yourself down from here. For Scripture says, he'll put his angels in charge of you to guard you. And again, they will hold you up on their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him, "It has been said, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Having exhausted all these ways of tempting him, the devil left him to return at the appointed time. The Gospel of the Lord. I always think a certainty about the first Sunday of Lent is you all know about temptation. We all know about temptation. It's something that assails us all the time. I was only reflecting, even our little ones from their earliest days, lovely though they be, they're wonderful when they are, aren't they? Not when they're not. But they know within them their powerful sort of self. And it goes with us all through our life. But if we think about it, we know it's a truth there that temptation is around us all the time. And so it was for Jesus. The author of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, sees the humanity of Jesus in the fact that he, like us, has been tempted and assailed. And he writes, "We do not have a high priest who is incapable of feeling our weaknesses with us, but one who has been tempted in all things like us, but has not sinned." So in a way, Jesus doesn't stand above everything without feeling all that, as this human feels exactly and has been with and experienced us through the desert, thou didst go, we sang in that first hymn. And the Greek word is sympathesi, which merely means our word sympathy comes from that. Jesus said, with sympathy with us in our temptation. All the three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, report the tempting of Jesus. Mark just simply says, as we heard last year, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness and he was tempted there. Matthew and Luke give us three of the temptations, which presumably Jesus had talked to them about. But it's also a reminder to us that what he was tempted to is part of all the temptation of everyone. You may think it's not, but you'll be surprised. Because if you think of that first temptation to hunger, it's really not just about hunger, but it's about all our appetites, our bodily appetites. Not just bodily, sometimes mental appetites too. And a lot of society says, if you want it and it's there for you, why don't you get on? If it feels right for you, go and do what you like. Unless they're not happy with that. And then society tries to stop you doing it. Like, if you eat too much and become obese, they're going to try and tax sugar and all those things for you. And yet, what we know is that society today is suffering from many forms of illness because of a failure to discipline appetites. So that sick economic policies leave over half the world short of food, while the other half's overproduced and wastes masses. Obesity, as we know, a growing crisis. Overindulgence in tobacco, alcohol, rich food, root of many ailments. Not to mention, of course, the abuse of mind and body with drugs, violence, sex, licentious living that's also undermined family stability. So you can link all those things, temptations there around us, with that first one. But the second is to power. I'll give all the power and splendor of these kingdoms, says the devil to Jesus, if only you'll worship me. And there's always a fundamental temptation to have power over others. But what we discover with Jesus was he entered into the poverty of the oppressed and the exploited and the victimized. So it begs the question, how can powerlessness ever be good when it keeps us from that pride that would attribute to ourselves what should properly belong to God? When it saves a person from the arrogance that would oppress everyone that they feel they'd like to overpower? Power, of course, is always hard to handle properly. It quickly becomes a voracious monster that never has enough. So you find people in power can become paranoid in building fences or making the first strike. Obviously, we think at the moment maybe of North Korea, but you can think of the Holy Land, the wall that's being built even around some of the holy places. When we were in Bethlehem a few years ago, we saw the horror of that wall. That wall has been extended. There are two main things that some of the monks and sisters produce in Bethlehem for us: wine, the cremeson wine, and the bread. And the vineyards have been raised because they're building the wall around there. We were told it may happen. It's happening now. But well, some of us, you can remember the Berlin Wall, the wall that was apartheid in South Africa, the wall that America wants to keep out the Mexicans, where, of course, the Holy Father is at the moment. It's all to do with power. And when, in a world, national budgets for military and weapons are greater than the other things, and, of course, the destructive weapons. I mean, we heard over the weekend who's been using chemical weapons in Syria. Begs many questions, but it's all to do with power. And when power takes over, it chills out love, so that love becomes empty and cold because all they can feel is the threat that they feel to their power. And so only love is vanquished from their lives, but Jesus comes with the love and the mercy of God. So that's power. Third temptation relates to the image of God. Jesus is challenged on his religious identity. He's just come from the baptism. The Father has affirmed, "This is my Son, the Beloved. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." And our faith too, always under question, under fire. Look at persecution, Christian persecution, but other religious persecution around the world. Christians particularly facing difficult times now. And yet here in the Western world also, the threat of atheism, agnosticism, the no to God that any of you following the Lent course have already heard, and the yes to man, which we see the results of all that. That falling away from faith in the Western world. Now, we know that in our own families and friends, to push religion to the margins and beyond. So the temptations are all there. But in all of it, it's there so that we see how Jesus dealt with it, the way forward. He rejects them all with the word of God. He doesn't argue with the devil. Eve did, but he doesn't. He doesn't argue, he just slams scripture. It is written, scripture says, and that's the way. Because he is the word of God, and he confronts the evil with the word of God. That's the power of the word. And it's why the ministry of the word is so important every time we're at Mass. You never have a sacrament without some form of the word, because it's important, because it's the word of God. St. Paul says in Ephesians, equip ourselves with the word of God and the sword of the Spirit. It was that Spirit that drove Jesus in the wilderness. It's the Spirit that drives us too, driving us through these 40 days of Lent. So let these questions and temptations, all the things come to us. Let's walk to, with the Lord, the path of God, so that we can arrive at the Easter mystery to proclaim with an undivided heart that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, not the devil.